Your mother always told you to say no to peer pressure. So when you hear how 4 million drivers switched to Geico last year, you aren't swayed. Then again, those 4 million drivers probably saved hundreds by switching to the nation's third largest car insurance company. Maybe your mother was wrong. Maybe you could have joined that hippie commune in Montana. Or maybe you could save money by switching to Geico today.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
Blog Talk Radio.
Warning. Please be prepared to leave your comfort zone immediately. The construct and belief system that surrounds you will be deconstructed. We will take you beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond.
Hello. And good evening, and I am going to try and stop whichever window is playing. I can't figure out which one it is yet. I can hear myself in my own headphones. It's that one there. And I can close that one there. That's better. Good evening. Welcome, everybody. It's nearly a new year, and here we are. And I've lost the switchboard page. Hang on a second. Oh, there it is. Phew. I can't run the show without one of these. Anyway, good evening. And I was almost not going to do a show. It occurred to me, I've never done a live show with callers and spoken to them and done their raise live on the air. I've spoken about the raise on Rebecca and Jeremiah's show, but I've never actually gotten to do that. So what I thought I'd do was to start a show, just create one and set it running and see what happens. I've never done this before. Ah, yes, there we go. We've got some more people in the chat room now. And yes, you're perfectly welcome to dial in. If you have Skype and you give me sufficient notice, I can connect you in through Skype as well. Those of you I've got on my contact list. So, well, good evening, everybody. So I'm going to take my first caller just after I've described what I'm going to do. What is going to happen is that I will be tuning into the person as they speak for a little bit, telling me their story or whatever they want to speak to me about. And during this time, I'll be using kinesiology, which is dowsing, muscle checking, to determine their ray energies. Now, the ray energies are, if you've been listening to any of my archives or programs, to do with the ancient teachings from the very, very ancient of days. And they describe the world and the universe being made up of seven different frequencies or seven different things. And they basically call them rays because everything is light and light comes in rays. Every different frequency has a note that would correspond to a musical note or a color that would correspond to color and frequency. And the part that we're interested in is not only does it create a note and a color, it also creates a quality. And each of the seven rays has its own quality. And we are composed of material made of different qualities of light energy. And those qualities together create what we call our personality and our soul and our great spirit. And according to what energy they are exhibiting, that will be indicative of how your soul is advancing along the path of evolution. Now, that may sound a little complex, and how do the two get connected? Well, it's basically because we're all light, and we're moving along the path of light. And these are the teachings of light and energy. So without some further ado, because I think it will be more self-explanatory once I start doing the thing. And I do encourage everybody to join in and call into the show and see where we get. It might be very, very interesting. So, area code 952. There you are. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who's that?
This is Nancy from Minneapolis. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome, Nancy. So, now have you heard any of my shows before? I think you heard Rebecca's show.
Yes, I have. I've read some of the information, and I've heard a couple of your shows, so I'm a little familiar.
Mm-hmm.
But I could learn more, so I'm really looking forward to today's show.
Okay. So, tell me a little bit about what you've learned about the classifications of energies. I mean, like the Jungian archetypes and different things like that. Are you aware of things like that?
My awareness is minimal, which is one reason why I definitely wanted to hear you again, because every time I listen, I learn more. So I'm afraid that if it was a quiz, I may not do very well. I might be best to be doing the listening instead of the talking, as far as that's concerned. I understand that, you know, that we come in on a color ray, or that's my own personal understanding, may not be true for anyone else. But for me, you know, I came in on a color ray that we most likely come in, you know, in groups, maybe even families, you know, kind of soul traveler families.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have, you know, some fairly good background on the colors of the chakra, and I work with crystals. And so the whole idea about color rays and frequencies, and having had, let's say, a medium or a psychic with a picture of me seeing different colors around me, and one person keyed in, I had bronchitis at the time, and they saw some dark green in my chest and throat area. So that kind of, you know, that's real basic. And I know that what you do is really, to me, quite sophisticated. So I'm anxious to learn more.
Okay, well, I mean, it's as sophisticated as music is. Music is composed of seven notes. You know, you've got a scale. That's the flavor and color of the music that you're listening to, depending on its scale. And although you can have a completely Baroque symphony with thousands and thousands of notes, or a very simple jazz piece that consists of three or four notes just being played in different ways, each of the rays can produce many, many complex appearing situations. But when you look at it from the inside, it's a bit like a fractal, like the way a tree grows. It just, what a tree does, it doesn't think, I'm going to grow up to be a hugely complex thing. It just grows a bit, splits, grows a bit, splits, and so on. And eventually that's what creates the form of the tree. And the different parameters in how much it grows a bit and which bit splits at what point, that's the characteristic, the individual characteristic of the tree. But it's all according to the same very, very simple principle. So that and the rays kind of pan out like that. So while you were speaking, which is why I got you to speak a little bit, checking up what your rays were. So let's start off with the way I like to work it is I like to do it from the highest point. And the highest point is what in this literature is called the monad, which is what you would call in perhaps in American Indian lore, it would be the Great Spirit. Beneath, if you like, beside, inside that or outside of that is what we call the soul, which will be the conduit from the monad to the personality, which is the third constituent of our kind of higher self. It's like the lowest part of our higher self is the personality, which is kind of in a way it's blocking the way above. That's what we call the ego. But when we get the personality to kind of step back a bit and allow what the soul has to give, which is essentially the teaching from the monad. So you can see the kind of hierarchy of it is that the monad is the highest part of your higher self, and really is how you would say is where you're coming from.
Sure, that gives me hope. Hearing that.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll hear me talk about the way the monad and the soul and the personality may interact, and it's to do with the way the same way that music harmonizes. Certain energies go with certain others; certain others don't go with, you know, and produce awkwardness. So let's just lay it out. What I picked up was that you have a second-ray monad. Now, in my experience, the second-ray monads, they're called the monads of love, and they are the natural human beings of this planet. So it's like you're here to be human, if you like, in this thread of lifetimes. Some people are not so human, and some people aren't from here, and that kind of sometimes shows up in the monad. So what that is essentially is saying is that at your highest point, you are compassion, you are understanding, you are wisdom, love, you are the soul of the planet, the soul of the solar system. In fact, we are a second-ray solar system, the second ray is represented by a continual expansion of understanding and compassion. So you can see where you can identify with that immediately, I would imagine.
Sure, it's really very lovely, and I do get what I call confirmation chills when you say that, and that's when I'm sensing a communication that feels true to me. And as far as when you said something about two humans, or that it could be other, meaning alien, is that what you're referencing when you say it could be that I'm here to be human, whereas some people are distinctly alien? Is that accurate?
You're here to follow the human path of evolution, as opposed to extraterrestrial. I actually don't like to use the word alien because, you know, we're all brothers and sisters, and even extraterrestrials are brothers and sisters, and they may look a bit weird, but you know, so do I. let's now turn to soul. The monad thing. I like to always put that in because that's the deepest or the highest form. But usually in general, most people don't contact it. It takes a very high spiritual being, you know, of the level of a St. Francis to be kind of looking at monadic situation, you know, because you got, in order to get up there, you got to be able to clear all your karma all the way up, you know, clear the karma in all of the physical body, three physical bodies, and then three higher cell, higher centers. It's quite a job, and it takes a while. There aren't so many people. There are more and more and more people now who are having that happen. But what's happening is that they are receiving the light of everybody's initiations. It's like flashbulbs going off, and everybody's the flash guns are automatically set so that when they see a flash, they also go flash. And this is what's happening in the world. That's what we're calling ascension. And basically, ascension is the monad coming, knocking on your door, and it kind of blasts all of its light through. And let's hope you're ready for it, people in general. So let's just go up to the soul, and we are going to talk about the seventh ray soul. Excuse me. We are seeing a vast number of seventh ray souls incarnating on this planet, and that's because we're moving into the seventh ray age. Previously to that, we've had a lot of sixth ray souls. And characteristic sixth ray soul activity is, how do I put this? Jihad, Templars, holy wars, soldiers of God, the Jesuits, mass numbers of people who are completely and utterly devoted to an idealism. Now, that's completely mental, and it's not happening anymore. But now we're seeing it all kind of play out. We're seeing all these kind of final wars, the wars to end all wars, and we're now moving from the sixth ray to the seventh ray. So what we're seeing is all the final bloodshed of the end of the sixth ray. That's what people, don't be scared. You might see wars looking around, but it's just this karma playing out. It won't be as bad as you think it might be, and it's certainly not going to last any longer. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is that new souls are coming in, and you're one of the forerunners of the new souls. And what I believe is the term crystal child. Have you ever felt related to those crystal children, Nancy?
Yes, in fact, today and yesterday I was studying about indigos, crystal children, and rainbow children. They have a lot of different names now. So, yes, I definitely resonate with, the early indigos, and even the crystals have quite a few, they have some similar affinities, like, for instance, having an affinity, for crystals. It's that's part of, what I came in with. So,
yeah. So you'll find yourself in crystal situations, being surrounded by them, using them. Do you use them for healing?
Yes, I really have some extraordinary crystals that I've been privileged to care for in this lifetime, and coincidentally, I am holding about a six inch smoky quartz. It's a generator. It's what's called a trans channeler, they aren't around. It's in excellent condition, and I'm amazed that it was available the day before Christmas. But it was definitely waiting for me to find it. It has really beautiful message plates, mm-hmm. and some rainbows on those plates. So. Anyways, that's what I have in my hand right now.
So, you're basically saying to me, yes, you're a seventh ray soul. you probably have a sense of tidiness or orderliness about you.
Yes, absolutely.
That people may have commented on in the past.
I definitely have some organization skills, but I've also learned to allow things to be, especially having a child with some autistic composition to his life stream. And so that means that I get to thoroughly enjoy and embrace a mess when he was growing up. So that is what caused the balance. So he came in on a different ray and is quite an extraordinary indigo himself.
Yeah. We'll do his raise another time, maybe. But I want to move through a few people. So I'm just going to go. There's the thing. You've got the seventh ray soul there. So what we're going to go next is the personality, and your personality is along the third ray line. Okay. Now, the third ray line is known as the ray of active intelligence. And it's essentially the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the universe. So you could say that any form of travel, any form of communication, any form of transportation, any form of for instance, electronic communications like using telephones, using switchboards, connecting people together, that sort of thing, building organizations by being a people person, would be kind of right up your street. And
right.
In a way, if you move... I'm sorry?
I'm in telecommunication sales.
Right. Okay.
You're right on.
Okay, so what you'd be doing in terms of... So that's, you know, there you are, you're 273, and you're in an interesting place. You're in a place of ascension, and what would the next thing would that you would be offered or that you would take on, or you would start coming up with your own ideas about how an organization would do what you do? You may be involved in, you may be called in to help. People may recognize the fact that you can sort things out that other people don't. And that's what I would say would be the next step in evolution for you. If you're in telecoms, that's in your personality. And the next thing would be to take you up into your soul energy, which would be much more in terms of, one thing is ceremony, one thing is order, which is like organization. So like, Julie, she's good at talking to people, so we'll put her in reception. You know, so-and-so is very caring but doesn't like to talk to people. We'll put her in the back room and we'll get her to make the sandwiches, you know. Mm-hmm. Just knowing what everybody can do, knowing people's capabilities, their skills, their pitfalls, not putting anybody in the wrong place and putting everybody in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would see as the next kind of vocational evolution, whether that happens in your work area or perhaps it may happen in a more spiritual area. For instance, you may be a coordinator of a meditation club or something.
Sure.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Another 7-3 that I know used to do classified ads on the newspapers. And eventually he created an ad-only newspaper. And that's the, advertisement-driven newspaper. Just that's what it was. It's just people putting classified ads into the newspaper, and that's what sold. And it's very, very popular. That's a 7-3 activity, that sort of thing. So I'd like to take our next caller.
Thank you.
Wish you very well, and we'll see how your evolution evolution happens, because I'm sure you're at a transition point.
I completely resonate with everything you said, and I thank you so very kindly. I'll hang up and listen for the next person.
Thank you very much, Nancy. Take care and good luck.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Right. Great. So that was Nancy. 273. You're starting to get the idea now. Okay, so. And I'm going to take the next call from New York State. And I know exactly who it is. Good evening, Shawana. Are you there? No, she's chickened out. Come on. I can't hear you. Right. I need a caller who's going to talk to me. Although I suppose I could talk to you about your rays, because I know what your rays are. Where are you? Where are you? You've gone away. Well, I'll start talking about the rays because very similar to Nancy just now, we have Shawana, who's in New York. I know she's on the line. it starts from the very beginning. So I'm going to... are you there? Shawana?
Hello!
There you are.
I'm so
good afternoon.
How are you, dear?
I've been talking to myself.
I could hear you.
Yeah.
just technology difficulties today.
Very good. So, now, I happen to know what your rays are. Because I've been speaking with you a couple of times, and I'm just going to leap straight into it and speak to our audience. Unless you have messages, do you have any urgent messages for anyone?
Do I have any urgent messages?
Mm-hmm.
Regarding.
Well, okay, it doesn't sound like you're not bursting. Just as long as you're not bursting for something, okay, that's fine.
No.
So we'll go straight on. We'll go straight on with this. And everybody, do call in. And if you want, let me know if you are in my contact group on Skype, because I can bring you through there. Although you're calling through Skype, you can actually call through Skype using the click to talk button that's above this chat room in the top of the page. Okay. And I can see one who's looking for a reading there. Okay. So we'll do him in a little while. So let's talk about Shawana, shall we? Shawana has a second ray monad. Now, I was describing this with Nancy, and as I said, it's a regular human kind of person. And like you incarnated to be a human, this is your job, and it's your path. And not only do you have a second ray monad, you also have a seventh ray soul. So in a way, I'm getting two people from the same soul family. Yes, that's me, Nancy. That's all right. So what? Did you were you listening to what I was talking with Nancy about?
Yes, I missed the beginning of the show. I do apologize. There were obstacles.
it's sometimes a bit of an uphill struggle to get onto this show both ways. You know, we're trying to get guests on and trying to get people on as well. So yes. Where we're at is so we have the second ray monad, which is the essential soul sort of spirit part of you, the higher self, which is part of the soul of the solar system, and is loving and compassionate, and that's really where you're coming from. You're like in the way you're coming from the monads of love, and that's people who are spiritually sensitive will pick that up on you. You know, you'll be more trusted than, say, somebody on the third ray. But moving towards the seventh ray, and like I was saying with Nancy, this is the new wave of souls. There's a vast number of new souls who are coming in who are resonating on the seventh ray. And the seventh ray is the purple ray. If you like to color, I tend not to color things because I'm colorblind and I only know five colors. So I have a thing about, you know, I try to make it very in people get hung up on colors. People are really freaked out about colors. It's part of the reptilian mind. It's like, I have this color. People tend to own colors and think this is me. And it's an R complex thing. And the rays are not that. The rays are completely an abstract, energetic form of reality. They're not the fixed concrete form of reality. And it's actually part of the initiation process, of the ascension process, of like actually if you can understand how the rays are working, you're on the ascension path, and you know that you're on the ascension path because you can understand this. And it's being able to see the world from the inside outwards rather from the outside inwards. In a way, like they say, to be able to see the sea, the tree, when you look at the seed, and all sorts of funky little wise things like that. So we're going to the seventh ray soul. Now, there are different qualities of soul. People have their own ways of expressing the soul energy, and there are various forms of art, for instance, that work according to different rays. One of the rays, one of the forms of art that is associated with the seventh ray is sculpture. And another one is making rhythmic music. So the whole thing about rave music and this constant pulsation that you get with the more modern forms of music, you'll find this. We're going to have this stuff for 2,000 years. Get used to it, right? Everything is going to be rhythmic from now on. It's all going to be rhythmic and synchronized and syncopated. And it's going to be, there's going to be like less stop-start and more smooth connections. And that will probably manifest through many other ways. But in terms of your vocation, and as I was saying to Nancy, the ideal of the seventh ray is to create some form of order. Now, that may be organizing groups, you know, and doing administration tasks and things like that. Often the seventh ray soul doesn't mind doing things repetitively, doesn't mind keying in 2,000 almost identical numbers. You know, it kind of likes it in a way. There's many different ways of interpreting what I mean by rhythm, because rhythm is everything. This is what I'm speaking. Rhythm could be like I'm playing percussion in a band. Rhythm is frequency. Rhythm is obviously the musical pattern of certain forms of music. And rhythm is very, very important to the seventh ray. It's also to do with, you know, the rule of time. And so you may find this yourself being very au fait with calendars and getting things put in the right place in the timeline. Mm. So, how am I doing?
Very good. I don't know about keying in the same numbers over and over and over again, but...
As I said, there are different forms of the seventh ray, yeah.
I understand that. I do have a question. Is it normal to see these rays on an everyday basis?
Right. This is due to a fourth ray that you've got in your mental body. And that's probably the result of some karmic activity, something that you're needing to balance. You've been made aware of stuff that you perhaps need to be aware of in order to deal with the karma of it.
Hmm. Yeah, because this is daily, you know, with the pink, violet, cobalt, you know, the cobalt blue and whatnot. Very interesting.
Mm. Okay, so now we're going to go down to the personality. Your personality is not the same as Nancy's, although you have the same soul group. And ordinarily, you wouldn't meet in your daily life because she's in her world and you're in your world. And, you know, this is what happens. That's the world of the personality. But here we are. We're working in the world of the soul where connections happen like, wow. Like, how did this happen? how did that connection happen? But it just happened.
When it does, that's what, my God, what, you're not going to believe it.
you have no idea. So the ray that your personality is aligned on is the second ray. So what you're looking at is you've got, it's going from second ray monad to the seventh ray soul, and then it's again expressing through a second ray personality vehicle. So a second ray personality is quite a personable person. You know, somebody who's very friendly, usually smiling, always polite. That's the characteristic of the seventh ray. The seventh rays are the diplomats of the world, that along with the fourth rays, but the protocol. A perfect example of the seventh ray creature is C-3PO from Star Wars. He's polite, he speaks all languages, he knows exactly what etiquettes are, and he knows the protocols.
That's me.
So when you're talking about a seventh ray soul working through a second ray personality and evolving through the second ray personality, because basically what happens is that in your kind of 0 to 35 kind of period of life, you tend to express the personality more, and you build up your personality, and eventually it kind of works against you. It becomes your ego.
Oh yeah.
And the ego becomes the dark night of the soul and the dweller on the threshold, as they call him or her. It's basically a dweller on the threshold is everything that you've denied about yourself all of this time coming back and biting you on the ass.
Oh.
Right, and this happens around the 35 to 40 kind of period of time. As at the same time, your soul is taking over more and more. So what's happening is each time your soul is knocking, it's breaking a little fragment of your ego. So that might happen that, you know, it'll just trip you up in front of someone.
That is so true, because that's exactly what's happening. It's like shattering the ego. I can so see that.
Yeah. So basically, once it's broken, it will then start snapping little bits off bit by bit until the ego is completely cleared. And that's what happens when your chakras are cleared and your solar plexus is the one that gets cleared at this point.
Right.
Okay, so you've already moved through your first initiation, you've moved out of wrong relationships, you've learned how to move around and to get... You've learned how to move around and to communicate in this world and negotiate and make money and live and prosper and all this stuff. And then you move into the next thing, which is the process of destroying your dogma, allowing your karma to run over your dogma. Essentially, you have to let go of all the belief systems that you've ever believed, you know. And to a lot of people, that's all there is their belief system. And that can be very, very difficult. And it can be a very difficult and very distressing time.
Bang on the head. Amazing. Everything I'm working on, you've nailed.
Thank you. As I said, this is a very, very ancient and scientific way of talking about the way we are. And it's brilliant. I love it. And I suppose I haven't really been holding it back. It's just not—it's not been the right time, and now I think is the right time. Here we are, 2011. And so now time is everybody else has to learn the rays. I've learned my rays, and now everybody's going to do it themselves as well. And we're all going to be connecting in and meeting up with our soul groups. Now, what I'm going to be doing is when people are connecting with me on Skype, I'm going to be putting them into chat rooms with other people of the same soul ray. And as I said, you would normally not meet these other people, but you'll be able to start communicating with other people, and you may find some amazing things in common.
Great.
So coming down back down to the secondary personality is generally, as I said, someone who's very very friendly, very personable, is warm. Usually people will be very very attracted to you. And that's not attractive in a kind of sexy way. It's attractive in this kind of, oh, I feel so cool around you. I feel so calm around you.
So you can attract reptilians. I'm just getting reptilians around me, so.
that's the other thing. Secondary people do tend to accumulate assholes.
Oh.
You know, we start with one and we accumulate more. A secondary person is what you generally call a nice person, you know. And what happens with nice people is that, you know, they get you know, picked up and taken by I don't know how many couples I know where the guy is a complete asshole and the woman is an angel. You know, everybody here
is at least
one or two couples like that. And you'll see this amazing woman, and she'll be very intelligent, very bright, apparently quite confident. And yet, yeah, you meet the boyfriend. He's usually called Steve. And he's usually a complete, you know, as we say in Britain, a wanker, you know. And he has very, and you might think, why?
Right.
And I'll tell you why. It's because the nice secondary person is the only person that guy would ever see, would ever let that guy get away with what he gets away with. Okay, so that's number one. And then the other part of that
to do with, you know, because I, like myself, have an enormous amount of like angelic presence. I don't know. I mean, is it this "I'm going to save you" type mentality?
I'm afraid it's the
evil presence. They're like dating the devil, or they're married to the devil. You know what I mean? Even though we know,
yeah,
he doesn't.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, you know. And because that's young woman's disease, which is the belief that you can cure somebody with your love. Sorry, folks. doesn't work like that. Ain't gonna happen. Anyway, so basically you need to learn discernment, discrimination, learn to figure out which one of these are reptilians before you ever venture out back on the streets. And I think that's exactly what you're doing, isn't it, right?
Oh, absolutely. I can spot them a mile away now.
Yeah.
I told you. I mean, you know, it's like I went to the gas station the other night and they were all there. It's so bizarre. Oh, they know I'm coming. Oh.
So in terms of a vocational path, again, it's to do with organization. Now, whether that's in, you know, creating your own organization, being involved with organizing something. It doesn't have to be an organization. It can be even, you know, somebody's got a whole pile of products and please make my window look nice. You know, you've probably got the skills to arrange things in a very beautiful but also useful and orderly way.
Oh, yeah.
Because you used to do that at the hairdressers.
Correct.
That's what you used to do. You used to do the little cubicles,
mm-hmm.
and make them perfect. They were like a little temple, and that's the thing with the temple builders. It's
organizing
range,
other people's lives. That's what I was doing.
Yeah. So that's essentially the potted seven ray reading for you. 272 Shawana.
Well, thank you, Jeremy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem. So I'm going to go on to my next caller. I'll speak to you soon.
Okay.
Good night. You can stay on the line and listen if you like, or you can go back to the regular room. Okay. Good night, Shawana. There we go. And area, I've got one of these area code 111, so I'm just going to say, good evening, you're on air.
Hello there.
Hello there, who's that?
This is Jason Kahn from New York. How are you tonight?
I am very well. Jason from New York. Oh, we have another
yes.
New Yorker. That's great. So, Jason, tell me how you got here.
Well, I... some strange circles, actually, but some very interesting ones as well. I guess it started with Callie and Mary Ellis, also known as Callie and Thomas, and that led me to Sam Muggsy, and then Ariel and Lavendar, and a few others. And here I am.
Good. That was just about enough time.
Well, I just wanted to tell everyone I've not seen any of this. I'm not really of the psychic persuasion, I guess, as of yet. But I guess the synchronicities are definitely increasing. And it's almost like a cat going through a dark tunnel with the whiskers for me. That's the best way I can sum it up. I wonder if you could offer... go ahead.
So here we go. You're another one. Isn't it funny? I'm getting the same soul group around tonight. And what's happening with my mic? That's a bit strange. I'm going in and out. Maybe it's these... Oh, maybe it's my headphones. Oh, yeah, it is my headphones. So here we have... You have another secondary monad. So again, you're somebody who is absolutely coming from love and compassion and wisdom. That's your highest ideal. This is your highest idea.
I would agree with that.
And it would be a kind of, you know, you would love the world to be completely a place where love occurred. And of course it is. Because the greatest love happens where the greatest conflict is.
Could you repeat that? I'm sorry.
The greatest love can happen when there's the greatest amount of conflict and war and destruction. I mean, I remember when I saw the Twin Towers go down, the one thing that I could feel was that everybody in the world was going, oh, poor America. And I could feel this huge wave of love going towards America.
I remember that. I remember that few days or weeks myself very clearly.
Yeah. So essentially you're tuned in to the world of love and compassion, and the world of being human.
Trying like hell.
being is all about. Actually, you don't need to try very much because you already are it. Okay, you just need to.
That's what I'm finding out.
Okay, so here we go. So we're going to go down to the soul level, and again, you're a seventh ray soul, which means you're part of the new incarnation, the new literally new age, in all the different senses of the word. But essentially, you're embodying the new planetary energy.
All right.
And this is the seventh ray soul, and so you'll be involved in crystals, you'll be involved in telepathics, you'll be involved in organization, and it depends on your level of evolution where you're going with this and how much. I mean, basically, if you've got a seventh ray soul and you're still exhibiting a lot of the ego fragments, then you're not quite as evolved, you're on the evolutionary path. The more seventh ray you have in your activities in life, the more evolved you'll pull yourself into becoming. Does that make sense?
It makes very much sense. Yes, it does.
So essentially, what you want to do is you want to move toward the things that accentuate and reflect the qualities of your soul. So you will be So, yeah, how many crystals are you holding in your hand right now?
Well, I'm not holding any, but I did purchase some actually last week.
So that this is one of the characteristics of seventh ray is they like stone.
Can I interrupt there for a second?
Yeah.
I am one of those, probably a little bit Neanderthal, but I always considered a crystal just a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Until recently. So it's kind of hard for some people to actually assign some kind of living intelligence. You know what I'm trying to say?
I know exactly what you're trying to say. Let me tell you a little story.
Go ahead.
Do you smoke?
Yes, I do. I'm trying to quit. I'm making that a resolution, actually.
Okay. What kind of lighter do you use?
Just a Bic.
You know the ones that you press down hard and it goes click and the light just comes on?
Yes.
Do you know how those work?
Those are piezoelectric, correct?
That's right. Do you know what piezoelectric is?
Vaguely.
Okay. What it is there's a little hammer, and when you press down the thing, it loads up the charge in the hammer, and then right at the end of the stroke, it lets the hammer bang the crystal. That can produce something like a 5,000-volt charge.
That's a lot,
Now, where that comes from? Where that comes from is inside the crystal. Tiny, tiny piece of crystal, and you can get 5,000 volts.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
Banging it.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, now that's because crystal is like a lattice sponge, and it absorbs light, and if you play light into a crystal, it will fill it up. If you squeeze a crystal, as you see, it emits energy. If you continually squeeze a crystal, it will start to oscillate. And that's where you put a little bit of charge into a crystal, so it will oscillate. And that's how everything works. Every single electronic item that you are surrounded by will have a little piece of crystal in it. So our lives are very, very connected with crystals. So when you then start looking at the properties of crystals and what they are, you begin to see that as the vegetable kingdom has flowers, the pinnacle of the kingdom, as it were, the mineral kingdom has crystals. They're like the purest form of all the minerals.
That's a good analogy.
And in the way that, you know, humanity, if you like, and maybe the cetaceans, the dolphins and whales, are the pinnacle of the animal evolution. Okay. So we have all these different hierarchies that sort of pop out here and there. That's just nature the way it is. So we're looking at the order. Now, there will probably be certain things that you will find yourself very much more able to do than other people. You may have a sense of rhythm. You may be a good drummer. You may not be, you know, I don't know. You may be a musician of some kind. But if you play music, it would tend to be more rhythmic than melodic. I.e., you would probably... if you're playing a song, you'd probably play it on the guitar or the piano, and it would have a good, steady beat. It would be less kind of Eric Satie.
Well, I appreciate a lot of different styles.
Uh-huh.
I'm not actually a musician.
Is there something about African music that stirs your soul?
I like some of the jungle, some of the old jungle and the drum and bass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything for me, really.
Uh-huh. Good. But you will find that you actually share the same rays, because I'm going to go down to the personality now. You have a fourth ray personality, and you share the same rays as the country of Africa. That's quite fascinating. That's why Africa is coming up now. It may be that if you listen, maybe sort of put an extra ear out to check out some African music and see if it does something for you. So it may help to kind of help you key into your soul.
Yeah, it would have a trance-inducing effect similar to the South American ritual music, I would think.
Yeah, yeah. And in terms of rituals, you'd be more inclined, rather than doing a ritual, you'd do a ceremony. And what I mean by the difference between those is that a ritual is the same thing done, not necessarily understanding what you do, but just done the way that it's done, like a tradition. And the ceremony would be, I'm going to take a candle. Doesn't matter what color the candle is, what kind of candle, I'm going to light this candle. That's my ceremony. Do you understand the difference?
Well, maybe you could explain a little better, a little more.
Okay, but you would tend in your spiritual practice, for instance, to take the spirit of it rather than the letter of it.
Yeah.
If you, for instance, like following a recipe, you wouldn't follow the recipe exactly because you may not have all the ingredients, but
you would tweak a few things. Yeah.
You'd tweak it, yeah. So that's the kind of spirituality that you need to get to, or that you probably find yourself already doing.
I am working toward it, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's going to be, it's perfectly natural. And you do exactly what you feel natural to do, and be influenced by anybody else's dogma.
It feels natural, whereas everything else, in my past at least, has felt artificial on at least some levels. And it's still that way. I look around, I see a lot of faith people, so that kind of reinforces that kind of belief as well. And I go back and forth. One day I'll be, I'll feel like I'm in harmony with people, and the next I don't want to deal with any of them. It's really up and down, and I can't really pinpoint what would be, causing that.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, let's talk about your 4-3 personality, which is what you're talking about. And that you're going to be in the last call. I'll just be doing an hour show, unless anybody else calls in, and we'll take it in the second hour and allow that to go onto the archive. But we're going to be finishing.
Well, it just won't be streaming then.
But it won't be streaming, but it will be recorded and will be. You can pick it up from the archive in about 2 hours. So let's just take you to your personality, because it's essentially what you're facing is probably one of the most difficult personalities to live with, and that works both ways. It's polar. That means it'll flip from one thing to the other, and you may have found that, you may be with a partner, for instance, and you want to go one way, they want to go the other. Or they say, I want this, and you say, I want that. I want to go to the zoo, no, I want to go to the pics. It's always, there's this part of you that is kind of in conflict.
It's a big part of me, yeah.
Okay, this is the ray of the warrior, but also of the artist and the musician, because what you're doing is you're expressing the two poles of experience. So in order for you to live your life as a human being, what you have come in to do is to experience both poles of experience, many poles of experience as you can. So, you'll join the church choir, and then you'll join the Hell's Angels.
That has,
you know what I'm saying?
That sums it up. That sums it up very well. Yeah, one extreme to the other. I've been very, most people would use the word stable, but I've been stable for quite a few years and been able to have the peace of mind to sit down and really look at some of these subjects. And, I'm trying to find the heart through the brain. And I think it was Zrumvalo Melchizedek that said, we only know love through the right brain. and that we mm-hmm. lost that connection. And that's the way it's felt for me for probably most of my life.
Mm.
And there's a cord hanging that needs to be plugged back in.
Okay, well, let's talk about how you plug that cord in. So what we're talking about is that your personality experience, which is it's how you experience the world, how you see the way the world working towards you, is that you'll see both sides, you'll see these opposites at all times, and what you're looking for is to balance those opposites at all times. So essentially in order for you to get through to the other side of your puzzle, you know, everybody's been given this particular part of the puzzle for them to solve, you see, and you get to your part of the puzzle and you're presented with this and that. And in the experience of this and the experience of that, what you're getting to is to get to the midpoint, the balance point.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It does, and it's something I've worked on for a long time, and it seems to be getting easier just as of late, and it's been a real seesaw.
Yes.
It has.
I bet it has.
So, yeah, you're nailing it 100% here with me.
So really, the fourth ray personality needs to do is to look towards the seventh ray soul. So you'll be looking at that which you can establish, that which you can build, and by looking at all the polar experiences you've had in your life and finding the center line, you're plotting your course through the center line of your experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds very poetic, doesn't it?
A little bit.
I'm sometimes amazed by my own poetry. Yeah. Anyway, no, but you're plotting the course between your between the extremes of your experience, and what lies at the end of that path is the beginning of your service. You know, because up until the point when you can get to the point when you're actually turned outwards and becoming of service to humanity, that's when you've let all the ego go away.
Agreed. Agreed.
And so the path to it, the direction that you're looking at, is towards some kind of order in whatever way it means to you. You may have dreams in the next few days that show you things. You know, they may be about huge groups of things. I mean, did you say you had that experience with sound engineering or something?
No, I'm a bit of a techie, though. It's I've always been into just the electronic aspects of it.
Yeah. Right.
But nothing on a professional level there.
Right. Interesting. Have you ever found that you're the peacemaker?
Yes.
You always see both sides of the argument, and you try to show the other side.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. That
and
skill...
I can be pretty imposing, too, so that helps.
Yeah. That
I'm
skill
a pretty big guy.
Like being a member of the United Nations when it does what it should be doing, you know, making peace. And that skill combined with organization skills is where your higher purpose would lie, however that manifests in your particular expression. Does that make sense?
It does.
Does
yes,
that
it does.
Point towards what you've wanted to do?
Well, more so, I think, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's just a matter of making the right connections.
Mm-hmm.
But they're starting to fall into place, and I'm maybe just thinking less about it.
Yeah, you just, I mean, basically, it's all here. It's all right here in your heart. And you've already got it all. And actually what you need to do is stop making so much noise that you can't hear it.
Yeah, right.
You see?
Yep, sometimes it is a pretty noisy room. That's for sure.
Excellent. So, is it Jason, did you say?
Yes.
Jason from New York, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
I'm going to go on to my next guest. I'd like to thank you very much for calling in, and I hope you enjoyed the show.
I did, and I will be listening to the podcast as well.
Excellent.
All right, thank you,
sir. What's your ID on here?
I am Phase Illusion.
You're Phase Illusion. Right,
yes.
Good to know. Nice voice. Thanks for speaking.
Yeah, I know we've spoken on in chat, but never actually on online. So,
yeah,
could actually match a voice with the name.
That's right. That was good. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye.
Bye now. Okay. Now, who have we got? We have... Let me just mute that one there. We have some people here in the Skype room that I've just lost. Where is it gone? There it is. Right. Now, let's have a look. Let's talk to Diana, shall we? Diana, would you unmute your microphone, please? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Jeremy?
I am very well. I am very well. So, would you like to tell me a little bit about how you got here?
Through the Blog Talk chat room, I think. I just happened to make friends with you listening to a couple of other different Blog Talk shows like UTE and Monty's show. That's about it, I think. That's how I came across you, and I've also made friends with Facebook on Facebook with you. But it was just through researching things that I like to read about that I came across these people, and I didn't realise, you know, so many people doing radio shows and things like that. But I just started listening in, and finally, just sort of. Became a non-anonymous person in the chat room and just started speaking up.
Fantastic. So that's given me enough time to determine your raise. And guess what?
Do I want to know?
You're another one. Secondary Mona, seventh ray soul, secondary personality. All these lovely people here, Chris. Now...
I don't know if it means anything, but I'm always wearing purple.
You're always wearing... Yeah, I bet. Yeah, purple is the seventh ray colour. It's like priesthood. It's ceremonial order and magic. And priesthood is generally part of one of them. So basically, you were listening to the rest of the show?
I was.
When I was talking about... people's soul energies, and well, basically, all of the above applies to you, Diana.
Yeah.
Essentially, because your soul ray and monad ray are the same as all the callers that I've had on the show so far. So tonight was a real 272 show. Amazing, amazing. But everybody's, you know, everybody's got their unique stage in evolution. They've got their unique vibration, their new flavor and color and qualities. Let's have a look at the it's 11:11 somewhere. Where is it? 11:11. Oh, the 11s, right. Yeah, well, first of all, patterns and order and groups and stuff like that will be part of your sort of daily experience. You're a mother, did you say?
I am indeed. Mother to two beautiful children.
Two. And have you ever dreamed of having a hoard?
When I was, before I had the first one, I wanted a hoard.
Sorry.
Then I worked out I couldn't afford them all.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then right after labour said, I'm never doing this again. So, I've got had one 6 years ago, mm-hmm. and thinking of bringing a new soul in as well.
Mm-hmm. So when I'm saying about groups, the larger the group, the better. There's a sense of liking large groups of things.
Oh, yes, the bigger the better.
Yeah. And we are talking about groups here, though.
Sorry, got to stop
that. No innuendo, no off topic at all. But we're talking about large groups of things. Remember in the 70s and 80s, there was this this fascination for everybody dancing the same.
Line dancing, yeah.
Line dancing, group dancing, gang dancing, all this stuff where everybody was doing the same pattern. And there's that video of the guy and he's dancing all over the world, all in these different countries, and he's still doing the same thing. But the idea of large groups of people all doing the same thing gives you a particular sense of pleasure. Would I be right in that?
I'm not sure. I don't actually like to be around large groups of people. I'm pretty shy by nature, so
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like being around. I'd love having all my family together. But that's probably because I feel very comfortable around them, even when we're arguing. But no, large groups of people tend to scare me. I've never really been able to talk to speeches at school and things like that. I just clam up and I'd end up talking really quickly so as to have what I needed to say said really quickly so I could get out of there.
Get it over with, yeah.
It's over and done with. I could think of nothing better than throwing a huge party and inviting everybody that I love to it. That would just be amazing.
That would be good, wouldn't it? So, large family gatherings where you're safe, where you're, that you're not threatened in any way by, the mob going crazy, but being around a large, safe group of people, what I'm talking about is group activity. And this really applies to all of us who I've spoken to on the show far tonight. I'm just going to try and link a couple more people. And Nancy was... have I got Nancy? Where are you? Flying. There you are. Nancy's coming in. Nancy, hello. Oh, she's a bit cooler. Nancy, hello.
Well, hi.
Hi, I've just brought you in. If you can mute your mic and so that you can listen in while I'm speaking with the other guests. Thank you.
Consider it done. Thank you.
Okay, that's great. So we've got everybody here. So back to the seventh ray of... right, so the seventh ray is the ray that's manifesting now. So it, in a way, it doesn't come as much surprise that I'll have lots of seventh ray people on the show. However, having all seventh ray people on the show is like, oh, that's a bit much. But maybe it's a seventh ray thing. Seventh ray people tend to be timely, tend to have a sense of timing as well. Like I was saying with Jason earlier, timing and timeliness, which are two different qualities of time, being able to say and do the right thing at the right time, that's actually a telepathic communication. 7-3 people are etherically sensitive, telepathic, so they're often quite sensuous and may be involved in, on the worst case, dark sex magic, or on the good case, tantra, have a real sense that, how can I put this? Sexuality is not a bad, dirty thing, but is actually the route to enlightenment. If only all those people would shut up about it, if you see what I mean. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem right at the moment, the way people are treating it, and the way people, in fact, are treating each other. You have an innate sense of the right relationship, of knowing exactly what the right thing should be going on right now, and often it's not, because we live in this world, and the world has been too dominated by these dogmatic beliefs and things like that. So what all of you who have been guests on the show tonight, all of you are part of the new energy. None of you are here to clear up karma. You're all here to come in and kick butt in whatever way it happens, in whatever way is natural for you, in whatever way you feel drawn to. That's how you heal the world.
I'm still trying to work that one out, Jeremy. I haven't come up. It's been 35 years, I still haven't worked out what I want to do with my life.
Well, that's the thing about having a second-rate personality, and I understand completely. Because you're very willing to do things for other people, aren't you?
Yes.
And you have a sense that you're in yourself innately complete.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very secondary thing, and it's good, but it can sometimes not be, it cannot serve you, because you tend to put yourself behind everybody else's needs. And if you do that long enough, you'll never get served, or you'll never serve yourself. So you do have to make sure that you get time and space on your own. Do you know what I mean? It's really, really important to you that you take time, and you may have a meditation space or something where only you go, even if it's a cupboard. you probably make altars. I was going to say, you probably make altars as well.
Yeah, there's a couple around that house.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you got a crystal ball, Jeremy? You're looking over my roof.
I've got lots of crystals here, actually. And again, crystals are that's the thing. You know, you may have your own version of the crystal ball. Every car needs headlights. And we do need to be able to look ahead a little bit. And I believe that's why we are innately psychic, all of us. But 7-3 people tend to be quite intuitive, in that they'll be in the right place at the right time for the apparent synchronistic thing to happen. Does that make sense? Have you ever felt, oh, wow, I'm really lucky, I was there just at the right time?
I have, actually. It was a couple of months ago when I first came across all of this synchronicity stuff and things like that. And one of the things that I read was that I would, it would start coming into my life. And I thought to myself, well, I don't go anywhere. I don't do anything. I don't see anyone other than the kids. But how on earth is this going to present itself? And a couple of days later, I went out to the city with a friend. And on the train, opposite to where we were sitting, there was a couple of other women who actually started talking all the stuff I'd been researching lately. And it clicked to me there and then that was how synchronicity was going to work for me. So I thought, wow. And since that day, I've not had a better time in my life, I think. I've had a couple of hard, really rough years.
Mm-hmm.
But the second half of this year has just been amazing for me, and I'm really looking forward to next year.
Excellent. So you'll find the seventh ray energies get stronger and stronger as you grow through this life. That your soul energy will grow stronger and stronger, and you'll be more and more expressive of that soul energy, which actually is, in a way, it's not quite the opposite of how you were, but as you say, you're around 35, your soul is now going to be starting to push through, and you'll be experiencing more and more of this urge to order, urge to bring some kind of justice and balance and fairness and all of that stuff. I mean, even if it just happens with your kids. But you may find yourself, as you grow and you meet people, you'll get maybe involved in something like a yoga group. But it will always be, you'll find yourself involved in group activities, Diana. More and more, and I mean, it may turn out, you know, it might be like people that you meet through the schools from where your kids go, and they're at different years, so you've got various, you know, various people to choose from, and you'll find people that you'll relate, and maybe someone might say, oh, come along to this thing, we do this thing every week, you know, we pray, we do this.
Yeah, well, that's happening a lot too now. I am getting offers to go here, there, and everywhere, and yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Accept all invitations.
Yes, ma'am.
Because that's what, you know. Guess who's asking? Guess who's inviting you? You know.
That's right. No, that's what I thought a couple of weeks ago. I thought, you know, someone asked me to do something, and I thought, I always say no. I always make up excuses. I always do everything. And I just had this picture of Jim Carrey in my head, and I just went, no, we're going to do the yes man thing and just agree to what everybody asks you to do.
Yeah.
Well, within reason. And it has. It's worked for me.
And it will work more and more, because what you can realize is that everybody else is God. Now, I'm not saying, like, you know, people that you meet are sort of super beings that you have to respect, but God speaks to you through everybody and everything. If you believe in God, I mean, in whatever you want to call it, the all that is, which is, you know, Allah or Yahweh, but I don't, you know, God being the prime source creation energy force of the universe, the force. It speaks to you through other people. And in a way, it's also speaking through you, through your right brain. In fact, our left brain is bombarded on all sides with messages from God. We just spend the most of its time ignoring them.
Yeah, living from the heart is something I learnt when I was very, very young. Sure why, but that's something I used to have an argument with my own mother about, you know. She would want me to look for guys who had money and who were stable and, you know, who had security and all the rest of it. And I came across a guy who had absolutely none of that, and I was convinced that that's who I was going to be with. And it's been 16 years now. We've had our ups and downs, but I think I really followed my heart instead of my head on that one, and so glad that I did.
Very good. Chris and Nancy are saying they're impressed, and bless you. That's lovely.
You'd be really impressed if you actually met my hubby, because everybody asks, what on earth are you doing with him? You know, it's like that asshole saying you were saying, or Jeremy.
Oh, no.
Sort of, not quite. That's what attracted me to him to begin with, was the fact he was his own person and did his own thing, and he didn't really care what anybody else thought about it. So he's been a really good influence on me, but at the same time, now he's changed, and he's very supportive. I don't go to work. I stay home and look after the children, and he pretty much does everything. So I really can't complain.
Mm.
It's the trade for everything.
Yep. So, now I haven't gone so specifically into your own situation, but basically, if I'm speaking to another member of your soul family, I'm speaking to you. So essentially, if you want to, you can go back and listen to the archive of this show. In fact, everybody who's listened to this show, listen to everybody else's interpretation, and see what you can take from that. Because you're all coming from the same place. You may have slightly different flavoring. You know, you may be a chili with red peppers, and somebody else might be a chili with green peppers, but you're still a chili. We are family, says Nancy there. What I'm going to be doing, I'm going to start a room in the Skype system here, just like this, but it will be a room where you can contact other members of the Seventh Ray family. And I want to see how that goes. I mean, basically, it'll be kind of a hands-off thing for me. I won't be there. Because I'm not a seventh ray soul. I want to see what happens. I've got one where I have second ray souls, and I regularly converse with Chris, who's a 1-2-4 here. Maybe I'll have to bring Chris in and do a little number on him. Are you fine? Dan, do you have any more questions?
Yes, I do actually. Just one quick one. I recently, just 2 days ago, given up cigarettes, and I'm really into my crystals. But I was wondering if you knew which crystal would help me more to not feel cravings and things like that.
Cravings are a tricky thing because they're physical. They're not emotional, they're not spiritual, they're absolutely physical. And what they are more like is an annoying little kid. How do you deal with annoying little kids?
Trying to think. Once I've had enough, I lock them up in their room for at least 10 minutes until I calm down.
Okay. That's what you do with your craving.
Okay.
All right, just treat it like a little naughty kid who doesn't shut the heck up.
All right, I'll give it a go.
And the other thing, if you want to, you know, if you hold a crystal, and you can probably sense it. Do you do dowsing?
No.
Right, I would recommend dowsing for all, particularly seventh ray people. It will help you connect with your etheric body, which is the chakra body, your energy body. And so, using a pair of divining rods that you can make from a pair of coat hangers, everywhere on the web, you just type it into Google: how to make divining rods with a coat hanger. Okay, you'll get instructions, and you just get your ballpoint pens and how to divine using dowsing rods or things like that. Just very easy. We found one the other day, didn't we, Chris? We just start using it, and what you'll find is that if you ask it questions, you'll begin to sense energy changes in your own body. Eventually, you won't need the rods. You'll be able to query your subconscious mind, which is connected with the infinite universe.
Wow. Okay. Well, that'll be something I'll need to research. I had heard of it, but I'd never gone deep into it at all. So I'll give that a go. I do have some crystal pendulums as well. So I'll just have to read up on it and do some more learning, I guess. But thanks, Nancy, for that. I'll have to write that down so that I can remember it.
Yeah, You can easily copy and paste from here into a Word document or something like that.
Not a problem. Thank you. Thank you for your time today,
Daniel. You're very welcome, Diana. And so if you mute your microphone now, I'm going to go on to our final guest, Mr. Christopher Noonan. Is it yourself?
Tis, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little hot.
Oh, okay, let me just pull down. You're going to do one on me. Yeah. One drink more. There we go. That's a jerk.
Yeah. So, Chris is a very different fish from the rest of us. We've already done a little bit of, I've spoken to other people about the raise that you have, but I don't think I've spoken directly with you, have I?
If anything, Joe, just a smidgen. So that's why I was quite keen to get involved here and support you for one thing, as well as you were running out of callers. But I've been very patient. I'm very kind of open and willing to know more about my raise, and especially the first and the fourth. I have been picking up some great tidbits or nuggets about the second raise. But I'd really love just to hit the ground running with you and to get straight into it, yeah.
Cool. So, what I'd like to do is I'm going to start with the monad. Now, your monad is along the line of the first ray. Now, what that means is something I'm not entirely, let's say, 100% certain about. But from what I see is that monads on the ray, start again. Monads on the first ray line are here to really kick some butt. The first ray is the ray of power or will, and it's the expression of the force. You know, the Jedi force. It is the will of the universe. And because it's not personality oriented, it's a monad thing. It's a soul thing. It's a spirit thing. It's it can be quite subtle and you might not notice it generally. But in terms of how it might affect, it means, you know, that in a way, a lot of the people around you and that you meet with, you realize that they're very different from you. And in fact, you realize that you're very different from like 99.999% of the population.
Mm-hmm.
That's because you are. Mm-hmm. And yet, you are here to serve this group. And because you have a soul of the second ray of compassion and love wisdom, you're able to lovingly move this force through your beingness and express it. Now, you've got a fourth ray personality. Christopher is a 1, 2, 4 people. Excuse me.
Bless you.
If you express the first ray of force and will and power through love and compassion, and then finally through the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, you'll find that you're doing exactly what you're doing. You're acting out scenarios, you're teaching people through various energetic means. That can be, you know, I know that you're an actor, so that will, in a way, you are the ideal expression for the expression of the will of God move the world.
Wow.
You are, in a way, the part of the breath of God as it moves across the world, making its changes, just moving a butterfly's wing to one side, etc. so that you've got a sense of what you look at is transformed just by your beingness, by your presence,
mm-hmm.
just by your experience of it. And you may find, like I was saying with Jason before, having a fourth ray personality means that you've gone from one pole to another. You've gone from pillar to post. You've been from from the choir of the church to the Hells Angels Motorcycle Club. You know, you've been up, you've been down, you've been left, you've been right, you've been everywhere, and your path is to chart the course between your life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
In the midpoint of it all is the balance. And so, essentially, you're a warrior seeking balance with the Force.
Mm.
Use the Force, Luke.
There's always time for a bit of that.
What more can I say?
yes. If we're not laughing, we're crying. Yeah, I know. It's very beautiful, and thank you for sharing that, Jer, as well, especially with the with what you accentuated about the first way as well. And of course, what you were saying, I would like to point out to people is, I mean, it's not scripted. So those words that were kind of ebbing from you were very, very, very poetically kind of strung together and really, really touching, really compliments who you are as well. And thank you very much for sharing that. It was really, really nice.
Thank you. I'm just trying to think of, in terms of what would be more, Christopher, what would be a greater evolution of you? Would be an ideal combination of the second and the fourth rays being how can I put this? It would be some form of healing or teaching or both. Usually it's both, you know, because when you give somebody the truth, you're healing a dissonance inside their mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's always good to remember that. And that, so by helping people to balance their extremes themselves, you see, you're the pioneer. You've got the first ray. First ray is the first person to do stuff, the pioneer. Often one finds oneself alone and apparently without any resources, but yet what it is, you have resources within you which are like the most infinite Swiss Army knife.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to connect with energy. You know how to connect with knowledge. If you turn your hand, you can do anything you like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to worry. Whatever you have, whatever situation you'll find yourself in, you'll have the tools to get yourself out of it. And that's your learning, and that's how you learn to teach other people.
Mm-hmm. It's very, I can definitely resonate with that. That is, it's very, well, resonating, but very relative to me and, you know, to who I am as well. I would be a person where I can see myself fitting into not just one particular area, but kind of a variety of areas if needs be, as well, kind of different trades, different kind of different facets of that crystal as you're kind of as you're turning it as well. So yeah, I'm jiving with that, Jer, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So now I think, yeah, do you have any questions, Chris?
No, just to kind of just to further on. You mentioned the balance as well. You've got the 1, 2, 4. You've got the 1, 2, 4. So between the 1 and the 4, and that's one thing I've been finding, especially in 2010, with the ebb and the flow of life. And I'm sure, you know, the listeners who are listening to the recording, the people who are live with us now can relate to this. That, you know, even for Diana, like it was the opposite for myself. You know, for Diana in the middle of 2010, and it really kind of took off for her. It really gathered, kind of crescendoed, like a lot of, you know, momentum. And I still found myself being kind of like up and down. And the challenge there also is finding the balance. But what is really happening for myself, and even in my, you know, young age, I'm not 30 years of old. I don't mind sharing that with people. But it's my sense of, it's shining out about who I really am, my sense of kind of purpose, belonging, and that is what's really kind of coming out right now. Where I kind of fit in, kind of homing in and getting that big torch and shining it kind of on my specialities in this world. I mean, that is what is becoming very much apparent for me now. That. And yeah, it's the place of being, what belonging, where you are, where you specialize, and balancing that as well, and with other areas of life. But what you've said, I can relate to, and it definitely kind of brings it home in the finer detail, and hearing it with the rays as well. It's very interesting, and it's that bit more kind of simplified with your kind of astrological appointment. If you went that kind of area, there's like so much detail, so much detail in the natal charts and things like this. But with the seven rays I'm finding and have found, etc., they would be, I feel, a little bit more, you know, a little bit more gentle, and it just gets to the kind of the root of them, of the details, the so-called the tonic of the scale, you would call it in music, those root notes of the chord, Jer, if we were to take it to that level. I just wanted to add that. No kind of questions as of yet, but I'm sure one or two may kind of pop in as we communicate, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Now, I was just wondering, Nancy, you've been patient for the whole of the show. If you want to, if you have any points you want, you'd like to bring up, or questions that might have come up to you, do you want to unmute your mic and join us in?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm learning so much by listening, and I've been focusing on teaching myself to listen and learn, and I'm so amazed. I just love hearing every one of you. So I'll keep myself muted and chime in if something comes to mind. But I thank you all from my heart.
Bless your heart, Nancy. So I'll be making up. I'm going to start, and it'll be at the beginning. It'll be yourself and Diana and Donna, Cosmic Mind. She's a 272 as well.
Excellent.
So those are your first soul family members to connect up with. And Diana, if you want to come back in now.
Do we have Diana?
Yeah. So, maybe she's gone away.
Some people. She's
probably got stuff going on, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
So it's about quarter two. We are being this is still recording for the end of the show, and I'll be able to end the show menu in a minute. But I think that's me. I think that's just
yes.
I exhausted my energies here, but
yes, Master Jeremy,
it's been fantastic to do this. I mean, it really is the first time I've ever done this, and it's so funny to see the way that it's all panned out. And let's see what happens the next time I do it. You know, maybe it'll be Third Race Souls or something different.
And I just wanted to say, it was fantastic. That as a result of the awesome show that you had with Miss Sam Muggsy as well, that we had that lovely gentleman Jason calling in from New York, and he was connected through Sam and the show also. So it's just great to know that people are really kind of catching on and coming over and joining in as guests and getting involved, and maybe there'll be a lot more of them too.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters and brothers, gentlemen and ladies, I would like to thank you for your kind attendance to this